Our scripture reading this morning is Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18, which Joshua is going to come up and read for us. If you're following along on the Pew Bible, in the Pew Bible, it's on page 835.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through, what is it?
18.
18. Tychicus will tell you of all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with one Simus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner,
Aristarchus
sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, also called Justice, sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayers for you, and that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and those at
Hierapolis.
Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at
Laodicea
and to Nympha at the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell
Archippus,
see to it that you have completed the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains, grace be with you.
Thank you. He was laughing because I said Paul. That was the only name that I gave him ahead of time. I could have gone Luke, too. It reminds me of a sketch from Key and Peele where they're a school teacher and there's easy names like Denise and Aaron, and they just mess up all the names. Honestly, here is a good tip that you can say the names of the Bible characters, Bible people, any way you want. They're not going to be offended. God knows their names. That's right. Thank you, Joshua. I told him, by the way, about 20 minutes, 10 minutes before the service began, I gave him a week to memorize all these, and then I said, you remember you're reading the scriptures today, and he said, I do now, and I said, that's good, because there's a lot of names involved. As we conclude Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, we read a list of names, 10 in all. It is possible that we might read these names as we spend time in God's Word and feel that there is little devotional value in this roll call. It's possible that we would see these names in this whole section simply as a footnote to these more significant truths that were contained in the earlier verses. But this morning, allow me to give another perspective to this passage. And let me suggest that Paul is concluding this letter the same way he began this letter. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26, Paul wrote, I have become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And then he goes on to say what the fullness of God's word is, what the mystery of God's word is. And now he is at the end, now saying how that word that he has been commissioned by God to present, how it is actually presented. And while we could go verse by verse, this is not really a verse by verse passage. There are a lot of names, and there's no easy way to group them, and I think that's part of the point. The first thing I'd like to say about these verses is that God's word is presented through diverse people. Paul's partners in the presentation of the gospel are diverse in their experience. They are religiously diverse. And we see in verses 10 and 11 that there were some who were Jewish. Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus. Paul says these are the only three Jewish believers, those of the circumcision, literally, that are with him, that have proven faithful to him and among him. There were Jewish people who trusted Jesus that were invaluable to Paul as he presented the gospel to the church in Colossae. But most of them were Gentiles. The other seven names are people with Greek names and were likely Gentile believers that had come to faith in Christ. There are also economically diverse group. We have someone like Onesimus in verse 9. Onesimus was a one-time fugitive bondservant. The letter to Philemon talks about Onesimus fleeing from his service to Philemon. A bondservant, one without property, one without resources, one who sold himself into servitude to provide for his family. The poor were used. You have someone like Aristarchus in verse 10, who was a fellow prisoner with Paul. Now, we don't know why he was imprisoned, but we know that he is with Paul under house arrest. And we have someone like Nympha in verse 15, who was a landowner, homeowner, someone who had a church meeting in her house. Every part of the spectrum, from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich, were all used by God to further the kingdom. Paul's partners are also diverse, not only in experience, but in notoriety. We have big names in the Bible mentioned here. We have Luke, the writer of the gospel, who was known by the community as a physician, as a man of science. We have John Mark, one of the initial traveling companions with Paul, who had been separated from Paul and now has been restored and is now serving Paul faithfully. And then we have people who are largely unknown. Justice. Jesus, known as Justice. This is the only mention of him in Scripture. Do we know anything about him? Nope. Other than he had one of the most common names. Nympha. This is also her only mention in the Scriptures. We know very little about her. Archippus. Archippus is mentioned at the beginning of the church of the letter of Philemon, that the church that Philemon and Onesimus go to are in Archippus's and Archippus's wife's home. We know that Archippus, according to Philemon, the letter Philemon, had some unknown to us work to be completed. But that's all we know about them. And then finally, Paul's partners are diverse in gender. It is important that the Scriptures declare that the church was meeting in Nympha's house, in her house. This would have been unusual. Either she had resources of her own, which was uncommon, or she was a widow, but even then, no one at Paul's day and age would have said that this woman would have owned the house or the house would have been hers. It would have been her oldest son's, no doubt. But Paul intentionally includes that there were women. And they were women of import. As we read these words, we can be confident that whoever we are, whatever our experience, whatever our level of notoriety or lack of notoriety, whatever our gender, God can use each one of us as we are, to present his word to a lost and dying world. It doesn't matter. You could be a rich woman. You could be a poor man. You could have nobody know anything about you. But God can use each and every one of us to present his word in all its fullness. Secondly, and if there is any structure to this passage, it's found here, the word is presented through different paths. That the first couple of verses, 7 through 9, are those that were going. Tychicus and Onesimus were returning to Colossae with this letter. And their ministry was to tell others of the advancement of the gospel. And that is an important path. This is what we have seen. And so we come to you and share it. And then verses 10 through 14 are there were those who were greeting. Aristarchus, Mark, Justice, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, all send greetings. Their ministry was to travel with Paul and to share the gospel on the way. And that might be the calling of some of us. We are to share as we go. And then there are the last few verses, 16 and 17, where Nympha and Archippus, that are those who were greeted. Nympha and Archippus are greeted and or addressed, and their ministry was to house the church in their community. And as we read these words, we can be confident that whatever we do, God can use our actions to present his word to a lost and dying world. Maybe you're someone that is sent. Maybe you're someone who sends greetings. Maybe you're one who stays and are greeted. Whatever it is, embrace it. You have passages like this. Three distinct groups. So that God can use all our actions to present his word in its fullness. The third thing is God's word is presented through difficult problems. Through diverse people, through different paths, and difficult problems. A couple of these things here, a couple of these people here, a couple of these situations here are somewhat hidden in the details. But in the midst of Paul writing this, there is one who was faithful but fell away. In AD 61, when Paul wrote this letter, Demas was with Paul. Demas is sending his greetings to the church. But according to 2 Timothy 4:10, 6 years later, Paul writes, because he loved the world, Demas has deserted me and went on to Thessalonica. Because he loved the world, he has deserted me. God sometimes uses flawed people to advance his message. Now, we don't know what happened to Demas later in life. We can hope that he rejoined Paul at some point, or rejoined the church, or had a ministry in Thessalonica, perhaps. But sometimes there are challenges. We have a team. We have people who work with us for a season, and they are effective and powerful, and God is working through them, and then later on they are gone. Maybe that's our story. For a time I was active and excited and zealous, but the love of the world has crowded out those passions. And I'm still here, but my heart is far. God calls you back. Sometimes we face acrimony, hatred, bitterness. Verse 18, remember my chains, Paul says. Now, this is not a plea for pity. He's not saying, oh, feel bad for me, woe is me, because I'm in chains, but rather it is an entreaty to endure. Remember my chains. And remember what God is doing, even though I am bound, because he can do the same for you, even if you are bound. Paul is under house arrest for his allegiance to Christ and his church. And God sometimes uses forceful persecution to advance his message. All across the globe, there are people who are striving to stomp out Christianity. And as one of the martyrs says, when you stomp on the flower of the gospel, when you stomp on the flower of the church, you release its fragrance and it changes the world. Remember my chains, Paul says. So at all times, we need to be reminded of the admonitions of this passage. Verse 7. We need to tell people that they are dear and that they are faithful. And I can say that from up here. You are all dear, beloved. In your very presence here, you are the faithful. Keep up the good work. We need to encourage one another from the heart and encourage one another's heart. Verse 8. Tychicus came that he may encourage your hearts. Who can we go to encourage their hearts? We can be a comfort to one another. Verse 11. These men came and they were a comfort, proved to be a comfort to me. Who can we go to? And not make things better. Just serve as a comfort. Can't heal your illness, but I can puff up your pillow. I can make you more comfortable. And throughout this passage, we need to pray for one another. We need to speak to one another. And we need to speak for one another. As we read these words, we can be comforted by whoever God has brought around us, knowing that his word is being presented to a lost and dying world. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God furthers the gospel through faithful folks like us. The church, both local and universal, continues to enjoy a diversity of experience, notoriety, and gender. God works through every kind of soul. Every. Do not believe what some may say, that because you're this or that, that God cannot use you. Be reminded of the words in Colossians 4, 7 through 18, that there is at least one person in the Bible that is just like you. God continues to work through every kind of ministry. We enjoy a plethora of ministries. God continues to work through correspondence and missions and discipleship. And whatever you are called to, I'm called to share the stories. I'm called to send the word. I'm called to work within a small church, which Colossians was a small church. And the whole city of Colossae suffered an earthquake, and the city was never heard of again. And yet God chose to invest his precious word in encouraging them, in encouraging us through them. The church continues to endure challenges of bringing the light into a darkened world. So we have one another to strengthen us and to support us, whatever may come our way. God furthers the gospel through faithful folks like us. So be encouraged by these final words from Paul. Be encouraged that you are part of presenting the Word of God in all its fullness. Paul begins by saying, he has commissioned me, and he is commissioning me to do it with all these helpers, all these 10, and there's even more, because there's the whole church in Laodicea, there's the whole church that meets in Nympha's household, there's the whole church that meets in Archippus's household. And is it any wonder why the writer of Hebrews said, surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, we are part of that. God furthers the gospel through faithful folks like us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it contains, and we thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. This little letter where we find ourselves, where we sense you are writing about someone like us. May we be as diligent. In Jesus' name, amen.